Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, hey, here at North Point, we have said that 2023 is our year of
legacy.
That's right, it's our year of legacy. And our motto for this year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave, because here's what we know. We cannot leave what we have not lived. And so if we want to be people that leave a great legacy, we must first be people who live a great legacy. And we just wrapped up a series last month entitled Design Your Legacy. And we've moved into this month and we're talking along this lines of full strength. And here's the reason that we're really focused on this is because just a few weeks ago, Destiny and I made an announcement. And if you were not here that Sunday, or if you're like a, you know, once a monther and this is your one Sunday for the month, and if you do not follow us on social media and you have not trusted us with your email address yet because you're still trying to figure us out, or if you take our emails and send them directly into your delete file, when we do send you emails, we want to make sure that you are aware. We did make an announcement that at the end of this year, Destiny and I are going to be transitioning out of the lead pastor role here at North Point Community Church, transitioning into another role within the community, and that role is something we're calling leadership pastors. We will stay on the teaching team. We'll be preaching 15 to 20 times next year, and the only reason that we are really able to stay on the team is because Destiny's brother, Dr. Denny Rodney Duran, and his wife, Dr. Sarah Duran, are going to be taking over as the lead pastors here for the North Point campus. We are very excited about that, and we really believe, Des and I believe, that God is really calling us in this season to train, develop, equip, and empower leaders on a full-time basis, both in the church world and in the corporate world. And so we're going to be moving into that direction, but here's what we know. The best is yet to come. And in this series, this is our cry. This is our rally cry. This series, this is our rally cry as we move into the latter part of this year. And it is the cry of full strength. We're going to finish this year strong, but listen, we're going to start next year even stronger. We're not just going to finish strong in 2023. We're going to start 2024 even stronger. And you say, why? Because we're going to be operating at full strength. And when you are operating at full strength, you can finish strong and you can start even stronger. And last Sunday, Destiny kicked off our series, and she gave us some thoughts from Ephesians chapter 6 on full strength. She really laid some foundation for the series. And so if you were not here, you can go back, check that out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. But I want to read this passage of scripture in Ephesians 6. This is from the Message translation, and this is what it says. And that about wraps it up. God is strong. Everybody say, God is strong. And he wants you strong. Come on, tell your neighbor, he wants you strong. Come on, he wants you strong. He wants you strong. Now tell the neighbor that you just rejected by turning to the other way. Tell them he wants you strong too, okay? He wants you strong too. Tell them he wants you strong too. So take everything, the scripture says, take everything the master has set out for you. Take everything the master has set out for you. That means he has set some things out for you, but you are going to have to take them. You're going to have to take hold of them. Well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. How many know you can have something, but if you don't use it, it ain't no good? So here's what the scripture says. It says, hey, God has made some things available to you, but you're going to have to take hold of those things, and you're not just going to take hold of those things, you're also going to have to use those things. And the reason you're going to need to use those things is because the devil is using stuff on you. So you have to use these weapons that God has given you. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. That's a great opportunity for you to say amen. So take all the help you can get. You missed another one. That's right. Somebody's like, I think that's right. Amen. Go ahead. I'll take all the help I can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. Everybody say learn. Go on and say these are more than just theological concepts. These are more than just words that we hear in church on Sunday. You've got to learn how to use them because you're going to need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. Destiny, last week, she gave us two questions that we're going to be answering throughout this series. And these two questions are this: what does it look like for you to live at full strength? What does it look like for you to live at full strength? But also, what does it look like for our community to live at full strength? And why we must answer these two questions, it's critical that we answer these questions because full strength is never just going to happen. You are never going to arrive at full strength by accident. Think about it. Your phone is never charging itself. Your phone is depleting. Your phone is not going to full, it's headed towards empty. And you have to make a decision to plug that phone in so that it can go to full strength. I heard a pastor say the other day, he said, you catch sickness, you don't catch health. You catch sickness, but you don't catch health. You got to create health. You got to work for health. You got to plan for health. You got to sacrifice for health. You catch sickness, but you don't catch health. You got to have a plan. And that's why we kind of came out of this series in August talking about design your legacy, right? Because what were we saying? It's not enough to have a desire for legacy. This was kind of our big idea last month, is that your intense desire to leave a legacy must be followed by an intentional design to create a legacy. It's not enough just to have a burning passion to live a great life and to leave something great behind. No, I have to have a design, an intentional design for that. But I want to add some things to that. It's not just a desire and design. There's some other things that we need to throw in the mix here. And that is what it starts with, the desire. You've got to have this desire. But then after the desire, you know what you have to do? You have to decide. You have to actually make a decision that I'm going to do something about what I desire. Let me know, you can have a desire for something, but if you don't decide to do it, it doesn't matter. So you got to decide. So there's a desire, and then you have to decide, and then you design. But then after you design, after you plan, after you come up with it, guess what? Now you got to do, you got to deliver. You got to deliver. And so we can look at this four-step process of, okay, I've got a desire. Now I have to decide, right? Now I design, I plan, and I fashion it, but now I have to deliver on what I have desired and decided and designed. I've got to deliver that. And what do we call that in this context of church? We call that discipleship. It's what Jesus set out to do. He said, okay, you have to have a desire to follow me, but then guess what? You also have to decide. Because what do we see in the scriptures? A lot of people had a desire, but they couldn't decide. When it got too tough, when they heard something they didn't like, they kind of backed away from Jesus. And yet his disciples, what did they had to decide? They made a decision. So much so in John 6, when Jesus gives this hard teaching about eat my flesh and drink my blood, and people are leaving him, and he turns to the 12 and he says, hey, are you going to go too? And they say, where else are we going to go? We've decided. It's not just a desire thing for us. We've made a decision. We're with you. And now out of that, you have a design for this life. But then guess what? You have to deliver. And this is what Jesus is always trying to take us to. This life that delivers on what he said. This life that loves like he said to love. This life that is actually delivering the fruit of his spirit, right? We are all, so it's just this discipleship process that gets us to this place where we can deliver on this life. Now, if you take these four words, because you might want to just take a picture of this or jot this down. But if you work your way through that process, desire is to strongly wish or want something. But to decide is to make a choice from a number of alternatives. Do you know where we get the word decide? It actually comes from a Latin word, and I would try to pronounce it, but I'm going to way mispronounce it. But the prefix means off, and the root word means cut. So it literally means when you decide what you are doing, you are cutting off other options. So when you decide, it means I am cutting off. There's a lot of alternatives. My life could go a lot of direction. I could choose a lot of things. But when I decide, I am cutting off all those other options. And I say, this is what I am doing. I'm not going after that. I'm going to go after Jesus. I'm not going to spend my life chasing that. I'm going to spend my life chasing Jesus. I'm not going to spend my life obeying my feelings and my flesh. I'm going to spend my life obeying. I'm making a decision. I am cutting off these other options, and I'm going with this. And we looked at the definition of design last month. That's to plan or fashion artistically and skillfully. And you have to do it artistically because everybody's different. And so you've got to artistically put your plan. You've got to fashion that plan. However, it's artistically because everybody's different, but then everybody has to have the same skills because he's asked us to do the same thing. So while it's going to look a little bit different for you than it is for me, we have to have the same skills if we're going to actually build it and create it. So we got to have a design, but then I want to move you to the last thing, and that's deliver, and that's to provide something promised or expected. So whenever you decided to follow Jesus, and you said, this is the way that I want to live. This is who I want to be. This is what I want my legacy to be. Now I'm delivering on what I promised. I'm delivering on what is expected, because now I've decided I'm a disciple of Jesus, and this is what disciples of Jesus do. We serve, we love, we forgive, we clothe the naked, we give food to the hungry. This is what we do. We are meek, and we mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. This is what we do, and I'm delivering on that. This is the discipleship process, but you need to understand this is how you live at full strength. This is just the process to full strength. So whenever we look at those two questions, we'll throw them back up again. What does it look like for you to live at full strength? And what does it look like for our community to live at full strength? It starts with this whole process. And so we're going to be looking today just at the first question. Second question will be coming later in the series. But today we're going to look at what does it look like for you? For you personally to live your life at full strength. Now, I want to start with this. For Jesus followers, living at full strength, this is good news. Living at full strength doesn't start with your own strength. Because this is what our core scripture says for the series. It says, you're up against far more than what? Than you can handle on your own. So God knows that life is more than you can handle on your own. God knows that your spouse is more than you can handle on your own sometimes. Your job, your kids, the demands, all those things, it's more than you can handle on your own. So God gave us the greatest life advantage ever. He gave us himself. It is the greatest advantage that you will ever experience in your life. God gave you himself. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Paul is a leader in the early church, and this is what he writes. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. the Spirit of God, the power of God, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit and that same power lives on the inside of you. And the same guy who wrote that is also the same guy who wrote in Philippians chapter 4 when he said, Christ is the one who gives me the strength I need to do whatever I must do. Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit operating on the inside, he is the one who gives me the strength I need to do whatever I must do. So it is Christ, listen to me, it is Christ that gives me the strength to live a whatever it takes life. It's the Spirit of Christ that gives me the strength and the ability to live a whatever it takes life. And I want you to hear this morning, that Christianity is built on this idea of whatever it takes. Because God did whatever it took to get to you. God did whatever it took to get to you. When he sent his one and only son to this earth, not just to die for you, but to die as you. When he sent him to take your sin upon himself so that his righteousness could be given to you, so that your sins could be forgiven, and so that you could spend eternity with him forever, God was demonstrating a whatever it takes mentality. And because God was demonstrating that, listen, and he did not just do it so that one day you could get to heaven, but God did it so that today heaven could get into you, because he was going to allow his Spirit to come and invade this space and invade this place, so now you could have the same thing that he has. So if I'm going to live a whatever it takes life, to live at full strength, then guess what? It starts with a whatever it takes mentality. And a whatever it takes mentality is a mindset characterized by a relentless commitment to accomplishing a mission, regardless of the obstacles or sacrifices required. This is what God did. God had a relentless commitment. When Jesus was here, it was a relentless commitment to what? To the mission. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, right before he was going to be crucified, he goes and he prays and he's feeling the pressure and the weight of knowing what is about to happen. And his prayer is, Lord, if there's anything that you can do to take this cup away, please take it away from me. He says, however, I want your will to be done, not what I want. Your will, not my will. Because Jesus understood there was a mission. And there was a relentless commitment to the mission, regardless of the obstacle or the sacrifice. He was about to give his own life, but there was a relentless commitment to the mission, a whatever it takes mentality. That's how God got to you. Okay, so how do you think you're going to get into the life that God created for you? If this is the way that God got to you, God says, this is also going to be the way that you're going to step into my purpose and step into my will and step into everything that I have for you, because it's going to take a whatever it takes life, and a whatever it takes life begins with a whatever it takes mentality. But now here's the challenge. It's like it, right? It, whatever it takes. The problem is we can't define it. It's a challenge, because you get into something and you're like, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. And you say, I didn't know it was going to take that. Right? So we use that word it because it's just like a collect-all, right? It's just like, we don't know, really know what's going on. That's why whenever they talk about somebody, they say, oh, you know, they just got the it factor. There's a reason they call it the it factor, because they can't describe it, right? They're like, it's just the it factor. You know what I mean? They just got it. It's like, well, what is it? Well, I don't know, but they got it, right? So whatever it takes, why? Because we don't really know what it's going to take. I can't fully describe it. I don't know. But I want to give you just a few it's that it might take if you're going to live a whatever it takes life. If you're going to live at full strength, there's some it's that we need to know. And of course, they're all going to be acrostics for IT, right? Okay, of course. Okay, so I'm going to give you, all right, three it's today. If you're going to live this whatever takes life so that you can live at full strength, here's three things that it's going to take. Number one is this. It's going to take intentional thoughts. If you're going to live a whatever it takes life, it's going to take a whatever it takes mentality. And whatever it takes mentality is found in intentional thoughts. Solomon said this in Proverbs 4. He says, above all, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish theologian and philosopher, said it this way. He says, our life always expresses the result of our dominant thoughts. Now, I want you to think about that quote, right? Well, no, not that. Yep, there we go. I want you to think about that quote, okay, in context of what I say a lot, okay, and that is that people don't think about what they think about. So if my life is taking me to where my dominant thoughts are, if the result of my expressed life is coming from my dominant thoughts, and I'm not thinking about what I'm thinking about, how many of you know, Houston, we have a problem. So this is how people are living and ending up places and going, how did I get here? Because they weren't thinking about what they were thinking about, and their thoughts took them to a level of dysfunction in their life that they were never planning to arrive at. And they say, how did I get here? Well, you got here because you weren't thinking about what you were thinking about, and your thoughts were shaping your future. So you arrived in a future that you weren't intentional about, and when you arrived there, you didn't like what it looked like. Well, but... because poor thinking is never going to lead to great living. Because whenever you break it down, look, your thoughts are giving direction to your emotions. And when you take your thoughts and your emotions and you put those things together, out of that is going to come words, the way that you talk to yourself, okay? And out of the way that you talk to yourself is going to come these things called behaviors, right? And you're going to start to behave in a certain way that's coming from your thoughts, your feelings, your words, and now I'm behaving. And behaviors that are repeated become what? Habits, right? And so now I have a habit of behaving a certain way because I have a habit of thinking, of talking a certain way, because I have a habit of feeling a certain way and a habit of talking a certain way. And so now I have these habits of behavior in my life, and the habits of behavior in my life are the things that are actually becoming my life. And so my life, my future is being built on the habits that I have today that are coming from the things that I'm allowing to dominate my mind today. So it's no wonder why Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, right? And he tells us this, and he says, hey, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Right? So he says, hey, this is going to be good for you if you will think about and meditate on and fill your mind with the right stuff, because your life is going to be moving in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So you got to make sure you're filling up your mind with the right things. You know, I heard somebody say recently, they said, confidence comes from your memory of success. Your confidence comes from your memory of success. when you remember success, and this is what the scriptures are full of, when you remember what God did, that's why the scriptures are always saying, remember, remember how God came through, remember what God did. Remember, why? Because when I go back and I think about the successful things, the good things that happened in my life, what does it do for me? It gives me a better chance to succeed in the moment. So my confidence, or we could say even our Godfidence, right? Even my confidence in God, God in me, working through me, my Godfidence, it comes from me remembering the stories of success. And this is what I love. We can see this throughout the scripture. One place that just comes to mind right now is David. When David went to Saul and he's about to fight Goliath, what does David go in talking about? I killed the bear and I killed the lion. Right? Now here's what we don't know. Did any other animal come and steal one sheep sometime that David didn't get him? You know what I'm saying? Did that ever happen before? I mean, David's counting the sheep. We got 147. Next day is 146. He's like, oh, we lost one. I missed that one, you know. I mean, I don't know. We don't have any record of it. We don't know. But what if it happened? But here's what we do know, what David was thinking about. He wasn't thinking about the one he lost. He was thinking about the one he killed. I killed the lion and I killed the bear. He says, God was with me then. And so God's going to allow me to have success against Goliath. Why? Because I killed the bear and the lion. He's going to be just like them. Right? We don't know. Maybe David got in a skirmish with the hyena. It didn't work out well. I don't know. Like, we just don't know. But I know he killed the bear and I know he killed the lion. And when David started talking, what was he talking about? The bear and the lion. But what do we do so many times? We talk about the one that got away. We talk about the one that we missed. We talk about we talk about all the bad. We talk about all the negative. We talk about all the things that didn't work out. We talk about all the things, right? And David just shows up talking about, there was a bear and there was a lion. I killed both of them, and this is going to be number three. Strike three, I win, right? I mean, this is going to be it right here. I'm going to take Goliath out, and he's thinking about the right things. Here's what you have to do. You've got to be intentional about what you think about if you want to live at full strength. Because you cannot live your life thinking about all of the negative and all of the bad and all of the wrong and all of the slights and all of those things and live at full strength. No, you got to be intentional with what you're thinking about. Because that's what it takes. I'm not determined. I'm just telling you what it takes. That's what it takes if you want to live at full strength. You got to be intentional about your thoughts. Here's the second thing. Is that you got to have incredible teachability. You got to have incredible teachability, not just intentional thoughts. You got to have incredible teachability. Proverbs, Solomon wrote this, and he says, if you think you know it all, you're a fool for sure. If you think you know it all, you're a fool for sure. Real survivors learn wisdom from others. I thought this was so interesting. Michael Jordan said, my best skill is that I was coachable. The best player ever to play the game. LeBron lovers, you just sit there and be quiet. Listen, the best player ever to play the game. This is what he said. He said, my best skill. My best skill wasn't that I could jump from the free throw line. You know, I mean, that my best skill wasn't, he said my best skill is what? That I was coachable. I was a sponge and I was aggressive to learn. The best player ever say, I'm a sponge and I'm aggressive to learn. What does teachability demand? Teachability demands humility. And whenever we pretend to know it all, what we're actually doing is we're cutting ourselves off from whatever it takes. So if I want to live a whatever it takes life, listen, I cannot be a know-it-all and actually live that life because success takes what I don't know yet. It's what it takes. Come on, if I knew everything I needed to know, my life wouldn't still look like it looks like now. I wouldn't still be losing it at certain times. I still wouldn't be depressed at certain times. I still wouldn't be going to. If I knew everything that I needed to know right now, that's not what my life would look. There's things that I don't know that I need in my life. I got to stay teachable. That's why our series scripture, right? It says truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. Learn how to apply them, because you know what? When you apply something when you're 21, don't look like when you're 61. I got to learn how to apply it in every season. There are things that I had to learn how to apply when I was single, things I had to learn how to apply when I got married, things that I had to learn how to apply when I had one kid, two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids. Okay, I had to learn in every season. There were things that I had to learn in all these different seasons of life. So what do I have to do? Stay teachable. I got to stay teachable. I can't walk around like a know-it-all, because if I walk around like a know-it-all, I'm cutting myself off from what I need to know to be successful in my next season. So that's why Michael Jordan says, man, my best trait was that I was just coachable. I was aggressive to learn. And aggressive to learn means I'm going out looking for it. I'm passively taking information. So if it just falls in my lap, I mean, okay, thank God. No, he says I'm aggressive for it. I'm going after it. I'm going after it. I'm aggressive for it. I am hunting for it. I am searching for it. And that's why Solomon says in Proverbs that that's the way you ought to go after wisdom. You ought to search for it. You ought to hunt for it. You ought to go for it. Why? Because there are things that I don't know yet that I need to know if I'm going to do what? Live at full strength. And that's what I want. I want to live at full strength. So I got to stay incredibly teachable. Here's the last it, and somebody can come out and play behind me. But this is the last one, and that is invincible tenacity. Whatever it takes, listen, it's going to take invincible tenacity. Galatians 6:9, Paul writes and he says, "Hey, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Do you know there's one thing the enemy is always trying to get you to do? Give up. Now listen, your temptation is going to be different than my temptations. Look, and this is what we know. We just read the scripture that, you know, the devil's working, so you got to use the weapons that God has given you, right? We understand that. But you know, your temptation is different than my temptation. And your temptation is different than my temptation. So he's never using the exact same things, because we're all wired different. And don't think for a minute the enemy don't know what you like. The enemy knows your appetites. He knows your appetites. He knows my appetite. But there's one thing that we all have in common, that the enemy's trying to get each and every one of us to do in our own way. He's trying to get us to do one thing. That's to give up. Just to quit. To quit believing. To quit trusting. To quit praying. To quit showing up. To quit getting back up after we've gotten knocked down. He's just trying to get us to quit, because if we quit, then we can't overcome. You got to be in the race to run the race. And the enemy is always trying to just get you to step out of your race, to quit, to give up, because the enemy understands the scripture that whenever we don't quit, we will find ourselves living in the harvest of blessing. So there's one easy way so that you don't get that, and that is just to get you to quit. To quit believing that God could use somebody like you. To quit believing that God can make a way for you in your season. To quit believing that God can heal your heart or heal your body. To you to quit believing that you can be a difference maker, that you can be a culture changer. The enemy is trying to get you to quit believing. Then we want you to believe that last fall, is really your last fall. That last mistake, that was your last mistake, man. You're done. You're finished. Nobody can get back in the race after a fall like that, after a mistake like that, after you did what you promised yourself you would never do for the 33rd time, and here you are. No, 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 the enemy's trying to convince you. No, 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 you can't get back in the race now. But there's something that I like to say a lot, and that is this, is that your gain is always found in your again. Your gain is always found in your again. I mean, it's right there in the word. The gain is in the again. And it is repetition that builds strength. Repetition. It's repetition that builds strength. So what do we have to get really good at if we want to live at full strength? We've got to get really good at getting up. Because you got to get up to be able to go up. You can't go up if you don't get up. And so we've got to be really good at learning how to get back up when we fall down. Because I know you came to church with your pretty little halo on and your little godly smile. I get all of that. But here's what I know about everybody in this room, including the person on this stage. We are going to trip and fall. What's going to happen? The question is, are you just going to live a perfect life? No, the question is, how good are you at getting up? Because that's what it takes. Because you're going to fall. And you're going to skin your knee. And you're going to get a little dirt on your face. It's going to happen. Because it's life. And that's what happens. So the question is, how good are you at getting up? That's why we got to have an invincible tenacity, an undefeatable tenacity on the inside of us that says, I don't care how many times. That's why Solomon says the godly may trip and fall seven times, but they're going to get up again. And he just throws seven out there as a number, right? It's not like, oh, seven, oh, you fell eight. Okay, it's over for you. No, he's giving us a mental picture that every time the godly fall, what do? They have already decided to get back up again. Why? Because I've got a desire to live at full strength. And that desire made me make a decision. I'll do whatever it takes. That's my decision. And so I start designing my life. Ooh, what is it going to take? What do I got to have in this design? Oh, I got to have intentional thoughts. That's what I got to have in this design. I got to have intentional thoughts. Ooh, I got to have some invincible tenacity there. Why? Why do I need to put that in my design? Ooh, because I'm not going to make every right decision and I'm not going to do everything the best I can. I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to trip and I'm going to fall. And I'm putting that in my design. Why? Because I want to be able to deliver on this life. And the only way I can deliver is if I stay in the game. So in the design, I'm putting this invincible tenacity, this decision, I'm going to get up again every single time I fall, because that's the only thing that can keep me over here delivering at the level that I want to deliver at. And it's the only way that we will be able to live at full strength. There's one thing that I hated to see, man, when I would go into the weight room in college, and it would be that all of our workouts would be written on the boards. Man, I hated this. Like, I like the, you know, three sets of six and four sets of eight. I loved all that. The thing that I hated when I went in and it just said max. Because what that meant is whatever that exercise was, you did it until you couldn't do it anymore. And I hated that. They're like weighted dips, max. So I'm going to strap a 45-pound weight around my waist, and I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to start dipping. And it ain't just 10, like, oh, I get 10. Oh, okay, now I can get down. No, it's like, max, you got to just keep on going. They're like, if that wasn't enough, then they're like, no, now you got to have a spotter there to, like, give you those extra few, right? They're going to give you a little extra help, right? So that's like, it's like max plus, right? I mean, like, that's torture, right? But here's what they know, is that your first few exercises is not where you build the muscle, it's at the end. The closer you get to failure, that's where real strength begins to develop. So what happens is we don't want to get close to failure, and because we don't want to get close to failure, we're robbing ourselves of the opportunity to live at full strength, because God knows the more times you get up, the stronger you get. The stronger you get. The stronger you get. So you don't need to be worried about tripping and falling. You just need to be, have already decided, I'm just going to get back up. And the more I get back up, the stronger I'm going to be, because I've decided I'm going to live at full strength. That's what I'm going to bring to our community. I've already decided I'm going to live at full strength. So I'm going to be intentional with what I think. I'm going to be teachable, because I don't know everything I need to know yet. I'm going to be a sponge. I'm going to be aggressive to learn. And then I'm going to live with an invincible tenacity. Trevor Moad said this as we close today. He says, it takes what it takes. You can do what you feel, or you can do what you choose. Because it takes what it takes. So you can do what you feel in the moment, or you can do what you have already decided. This is the way that I am going to live. This is the life that I am going after. Whatever it takes. But whatever it takes, life starts with a whatever it takes mentality. And that's how we get to live at full strength. I want you to stand with me today. We'll throw our lead across sick every week. We say, hey, we want to lead ourselves well. What are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And the D is always the same. Just do it again. Here's what we learned. We must do whatever it takes to live at full strength. You got to do whatever it takes. The evaluation, are you personally living at full strength? That's just a question for you. Are you personally living at full strength right now? And remember, it's not just going to happen because you're existing, right? I've got to be doing things to make sure that I am living at full strength. And if we say, no, I'm not at full strength right now, but I want to be, okay, great. Our application is just this week, be aware of your thoughts, be aware of your teachability, and be aware of your tenacity. Be aware of your thoughts. This week, think about what you're thinking about all the time. Driving down the road, walking down the hallway at work, sitting in the car line, pick up your kids, whatever. Just be aware of what you're thinking. When you find yourself thinking things about your losses and about your failures and about your mistakes and the coulda, shoulda, wouldas and all the regrets. You got to start thinking about your wins. They're there. Start thinking about them. Be aware of your teachability. If you find yourself talking, I don't know. What are they talking about? What do they know about this? What are they? No. Just, that's why you got two ears and one mouth. Shut your mouth. Open up your two ears. Be teachable. Learn. You can learn from anybody. Be teachable. And then finally, have some tenacity. Invincible tenacity. Hey, out of all the people in this room, let me tell you what, somebody in this room gonna make a fool out of themselves this week. It might be me. But are you gonna have the tenacity to show up and apologize? Are you going to have the tenacity to say, no, I'm not going to let that thing that happens on Tuesday morning define my whole Tuesday or my whole week or my identity? Absolutely not. I'm going to get back up again. I got tenacity, because that's what it takes to live at full strength. That's what it takes. And then let's just do it again. We just keep doing it again and again and again and again and again. And that's how we build a life of full strength. I want you to bow your heads with me today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, your word declares that the truth actually sets us free. It liberates us. It liberates us to live the life that we were created to live. So, Father, I pray that your truth would set us free. that it would set us free to live at full strength. How many of you today say, Philip, I want to live at full strength? Hey, maybe you came in at full, maybe you came in today at full strength, or maybe you came in and may you run it, you running on empty. You just barely had enough to make it here. You just rolled into church. Like, I mean, you could, the gas didn't even work. You just pulled right on in here, and here you are. But you say, but Philip, I want to live at full strength. I want to be intentional about my thoughts this week. I want to be intentional about what I'm thinking about. I want to make sure that I'm filling my mind and I'm meditating on the right things. I want to be teachable this week. I want to be aggressive to learn. I want to be aggressive to learn. I want to be a sponge looking for wisdom. See, I want to have some invincible tenacity. No matter how many times I trip and fall this week, this month, this year, I want to just keep getting back up and staying in the race so that I can be stronger and stronger and stronger. Every time I get back up, I'll be stronger and stronger. I really do want to live at full strength. Whether you came in at full strength, whether you came in with barely any strength at all, but you say, Bill, that's what I want. I want to live at full strength. If that's you today, come on, I just want you to lift up your hand right there where you are. You say, I just want to live a full strength life. I want to live a full strength life. I don't want to live a half strength. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to live at full strength. I want to be intentional about my thoughts. Come on, I want to be incredibly teachable. I want that invincible tenacity. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, this desire to live at full strength. That's what was percolating as I was preaching. Now what you're doing is you're making a decision. By lifting your hand, you're saying, yes, that's what I want. Okay, now we're gonna apply the design. This thinking, this teachability, this tenacity. Okay, now we're gonna practice delivering on that. The discipleship process for full strength. Come on, with that hand raised right now, if you lifted that hand, come on, just lift it up high in the air, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I want to live at full strength. I want to stay at full strength. All the days of my life for your purposes and for your glory. Help me, Holy Spirit, to have the strength I need to live a whatever it takes life. Father, I thank you so much that you're going to be with us, that you gave us the greatest advantage ever when you put your Spirit on the inside of us. God, help us. Help us with a whatever it takes mentality so that we can live a whatever it takes life. So that we can live at full strength all the days of our life. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray and believe. Come on, can you thank God for that?
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.